And so much of my passion about living, which we talk about, even though it's really hard, is I would so much prefer to have a flavorful, turned on reality of life, whether that means I'm crying and like banging a pillow, yelling into it, or jumping with joy and bliss. Like, I'd rather have the polarity of that than I would to be in this sort of neutrality, in this like numbness.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself and remembering who I really am. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational and living a life full of transformation. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm here with a very near and dear and new friend, but it feels like we're old friends. And I'm just so happy to be doing this with you and sharing your magic and your soul with the world. And I'm just honored you're in my life. Mm-hmm. So this is Tori.
Hi.
Tori Penta.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. And would you introduce yourself in whatever way you feel called mm-hmm. to do so?
Yeah. Thank you for that reflection. And mm-hmm. I feel so similarly. It feels really sweet to be here in this space with you. My name's Tori, and I actually recently just moved to Austin, and that's how we met. And through a body of work that is so special to me and to you, which is that of the body, the breath, movement, all these things that have really changed my life, and I know yours too, as we've spoken about. So it just feels so sweet to be sitting here and talking about all those things with you. Do you want to do a little drop-in?
Yeah. We're going to start with a drop-in, which really speaks to Tori and also speaks to our relationship. And right before we drop in, I just was thinking when you were speaking of when we met, I just saw a message from Tori and I was like, you have to come to this embodiment class tonight. Mm-hmm. And it's a very deep embodiment class we do here. And I haven't really... It was the first time I just invited someone I didn't know on Instagram. And yeah, it just really speaks to our relationship. Mm-hmm. So I just had to say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's quite the class too.
Okay.
Just taking a moment. And right away, there's like this portal of gratitude that's so here. So just connecting to that for a moment. Breathing into that for a moment.
Also, just inviting anyone and everyone who's listening to this to pause and to drop in with us.
And just for a moment, as you do so, noticing your body in space, just checking in. What do you feel? Sensations, thoughts. Maybe it's the first time it's just you checking in with you. And so there's a lot of permission there to just be with instead of needing to understand. And then just for a moment, finding a place in your body that feels really safe. Placing all your awareness in that space. And then taking a full breath in through your nose, all the way up from that space. On the exhale, pouring it into your whole body. Again, breath in, filling with safety, with spaciousness, with expansion through the nose. Pouring it into every cell as you breathe out. One more full breath all the way up through the nose. Hold it at the top. Full body release. Any movements? Any shakes? Just finding yourself back, turning on your own time.
I love that we can be instantly transported to such a safe space when we take time to do that. And as lives, what I also love about our relationship and you specifically is we met and we were both like, oh, fuck. I mean, truly being in our Saturn returns and in life right now, which I know so many people listening, if they're listening to my podcast, they get this, but it's been just such a big time in life. And so many of us have just been going through so much and meeting you and you were going through it and I'm going through, we're all going through it. And it's just been so refreshing for us to look at each other and be like, oh, fuck. Fuck. And then to be in friendship with another who is so willing to transmute it. And all we do, we breathe, we move, we talk about it. We have deep intellectual conversations as we're walking and just talking about different breath patterns, talking about how we like to serve our communities. And it's just so beautiful to be real and raw about the complexities of life, specifically being in your upper 20s, trying to figure it the fuck out. And then watching us both constantly, every single day, return to our bodies and our breath. It's very, very inspiring and empowering.
Yeah.
To be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's so beautiful to name that too out loud, because for so long, I felt like for me, life literally just existing, to be completely transparent, felt challenging for me. And I don't mean that in the deepest of ways, of the depths of how dark things can get at times. I mean it from like just being baseline, happy, peaceful. I have a loud inner talk track, and we've talked about this so much, the two of us, and that can really stronghold my life experience day to day, moment by moment, and take me out of the present moment, which then takes me out of my body, which then takes me out of what's possible in my life. And so again, to what you mentioned of like meeting someone in that.
Well, we both are people who are very in our heads, but are obsessed with the body.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense,
but so true. Talk a little bit about your childhood.
Yeah.
And the body.
Yeah.
And sports and all of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I feel really blessed with the family that I came from and have. And a big part of my life starting at age four was sports. And it was funny because my parents always used to say that I was this like lazy little girl. Like I was super lazy and just like sleepy, which is so funny.
I was too. You've never told me that.
No, yeah, it's so funny.
I was too. My mom used to always say that.
Yeah, so I was such a sleepy kid too.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I have more on that too, which I've later figured out my sleepy stuff is actually a deeper meaning, which is really interesting.
I think it's linked to human design as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Whole other tangent.
Yeah.
Whole other podcast. But it was really interesting because I started playing. They put me in just like a town league, and they tell a story that when they went to the field to the game to see the team, everyone was talking about this girl who was really good. And my parents were like, oh, I wonder who that is. And lo and behold, it was me. And they were like, really? You know, because I was just this quiet, really shy, actually tired, kind of like sleepy girl, easygoing. And it was the first time that that like spunky spark came through, which was in sports and on the soccer field, which was my game. And so really, that's where it all started for me. And I played from age 4, started competitively at age 8, and then literally didn't stop until I graduated college because I played at school. And so the beauty of that and the complexity of that was that for me, movement was my medicine. And I didn't know it because I was young when I started. And I only really realized it after it was over that truthfully running around, playing sports, being physical, being in the body in a game that I loved took me out of my head. Mm-hmm. And there were moments growing up where I have memory of feeling anxious, of a term now that I understand. And on reflection, my mom too has kind of mirrored to me stories of me being anxious, but I didn't really understand it fully until I racked the cleats up and it was done. And I was hit with this wave of like, oh fuck, what now? What now? Yeah. And that moment really hit when I graduated. And, you know, I've had a pretty linear path of going to school and going to college and being a college athlete and then transitioning into a job. And simultaneously, like, my felt experience of that has felt really unique and different than a lot of people in my life. And so there was a moment when I stopped playing and I started working and I was like, is this it?
Like, this is it.
This is what we're prepping for?
Yeah, like, this is why I'm here.
I felt the same way when I was spit out into the big wide world. It's like, wait, this is, what is this?
Yeah.
Because my whole childhood, I was trying to get to that.
Yeah.
And then I got to that and I was like, wait, there's got to be more.
Totally. And it's this, and that's like such a stunning tidbit of like this ever-present feeling within me, which I know lives within you because we've talked about this so many times, of like, more, like a hunger that I've felt so lonely in, mm-hmm. you know, with the exception of certain people in my life where everyone else kind of seems like they're fine. And I'm over here like, but wait,
there's more.
Missing out on the cosmic joke.
Yeah
exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's so beautiful because I went to a service here in Austin on Sunday for Easter. And it was the first time I've actually been in a church here and for a little while. And the service was stunning. And one of the points of the sermon was, if you're fine, there's more. If you're fine, there's more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, finally, a sentence that explains me and the purpose of my life and my work.
And so many people are just so asleep or not allowing themselves to be turned on to all that life has to offer. And so they're living what appears to be an easy life, mm-hmm. settling. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in hindsight, that's easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I sometimes, in comparison to seeing people go through life in that way, thinking, oh, wouldn't that have been nice if I could do that? Mm-hmm. And then I also think, what are they feeling inside? I think for me and for you, we've allowed ourselves to be real about how we feel, mm-hmm. with ourselves, with other people. And therefore, we live a very emotional yet alive and turned on life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the piece here too that I think is so important is like, it doesn't mean that we don't feel all the dark stuff. It actually means we feel a lot of the dark stuff.
Well, like, that's why we're talking about this.
Exactly, exactly. It's the point of like, you know, in one way, it's easier to not feel. But then in a lot of ways, it's actually harder to not feel because it's this low grade sort of stagnancy, kind of average energy that you're in. And then for most people, something happens in their life where they hit a rock bottom. Maybe someone they love gets sick.
Yeah.
Maybe they have health issues. And it kind of kicks off that whole like, oh, awakening journey. And
breakups do that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's wild to have an experience where, well, you know, yes, I've had many rock bottom moments. And I know you have too. Within me naturally has always been this sort of hunger and to confront that every single day. And then to
move through the world having to learn how to be with that and realize around me that, oh, a lot of other people don't have this, just kicked on. And so much of my passion about living, which we talk about, even though it's really hard, is I would so much prefer to have a flavorful, turned on reality of life, whether that means I'm crying and like banging a pillow, yelling into it, or jumping with joy and bliss. Like, I'd rather have the polarity of that than I would to be in this sort of neutrality, in this like numbness, because I've also been there.
Yeah, too. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. And that being that numbness state is so, looking back on being in that numb state, it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just when I take myself back to times I was really numb, it just takes me out of knowing this deep internal knowing of who I am and this deep confidence, which we speak about too. You know, we go through so many emotions, so many waves, so much shit, you know, just being so alive and awake to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You feel everything. You're aware of everything. You're not turned off. Yeah. You know, I rarely have like a fucking normal weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I smell all the smells and taste all the colors, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I go 18 million places in a week.
Mm-hmm.
I have 20 million feelings about literally every single thing, da 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 da. And seeing the person that was numb, there's just this deep sadness there.
Mm-hmm.
And this person that feels all these things, there's this almost like this sassiness, this confidence, this resilience, this kind of like ha 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 superpower energy.
Yeah.
And I know you feel the same way because we've talked about that. Like when we're shooting the shit, you're like, I'm confident. I'm like, me too.
Yeah.
Like, we got this.
Literally within the span of 5 minutes. I don't know if I can do this to like, I am freaking got this. Yeah. 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 I mean, it's so true. And in the same breath, there's this invitation in feeling to know ourselves. And that's where confidence comes from. When I think about the most confident people that I know, and even for my own path of cultivating confidence, it's a knowing of self.
Yes. That's what no one can take away from you.
Totally. And it's actually like it's a felt sense. It's not what I do. It's not who I am. It's not what I look like. It's literally nothing outside of me. It is within me, and it's a felt sense. And that comes from learning how to know yourself, which means learning how to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this so much, but our society, that term numb, is also just desensitized. We've become desensitized to feeling because look at the things we have access to, Instagram, social media, technology. We are constantly in the work of stepping outside of self, going somewhere else, stepping outside of self, going somewhere else, right? What do we turn to try to get a hit, to feel something within self, when truth be told, that feeling actually is there deep, deep, deep within, that we don't need something outside of us to find it?
Yeah. Yeah, in a world where we're being bombarded with it's everywhere else. And it's a daily practice. I mean, you and I speak so much on this, but if we don't do our practice in the morning, forget it. No, because it just being in a world where it's you look online and it's like, oh, you suck. Oh, everyone has it better than you. Everyone has more money. Everyone has more love. Everyone has more this, more that, more that. You know, we're also living in a society that's just, it's going fast. Things are really progressing fast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much distraction. And I believe it's happening for a reason, but there's so much distraction to not know yourself in the world, you know, constant noise. And so the most courageous thing we can do is turn in every single day to ourselves, to remembering who we are, to feeling, to breathing, to knowing. Mm-hmm. And a testament to this work that we're speaking of is what starts to begin to show in your world. Because I think of who I was a year ago. I think of the people around me. people that I wouldn't ever even be around now because it's just not a vibrational match for who I am. I think of the people I'm meeting now and how deep we're able to go so instantly. And like our friendship, for example, and just how it's almost like I feel like I speak the same language as the women around me, which is something I looked for my whole life. And that's from coming from a deep sense of knowing that person that was coming from a desensitized place who was even afraid of what lived within me. I was so afraid of what was inside of me that, you know, I'm outsourcing my power. I'm attracting relationships that aren't rooted and grounded and relationships that don't, you know, keep me or aren't bringing out who I really am, you know, outsourcing my power. And so I just say all this because there's so much beauty in going inside and cultivating that sense of confidence, because though you feel a lot more and though everything becomes heightened and everything from your work to your, you know, it all has to be aligned because you feel if it's not, at the same time, the rewards are so life-giving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yes.
Yeah. One of my mentors who I've spoken a lot about, Sam Skelly, I've been trained by her for the different modalities of work that I do, says that our capacity to feel pain is equal to our capacity to feel pleasure. And it speaks to what you're talking about, where if you have experiences that are dark, right? You might be someone listening to this. I don't know where you are in your life. I know for me, at 28 and my Saturn return, there have been many a moments where I'm literally like, oh, what is going on?
Pitch black. Yeah.
Yeah. And why? And the truth is there's a polarity on the other side of it. The sun can't rise if it doesn't sunset, right? Black, white, yin, yang, there's always duality. And so that speaks the same thing about pleasure. So if you want to feel pleasure, big bliss, just know that if you're in it, as I like to say, in it. Yeah. You're on your way.
Yeah, if you're experiencing the dark, you are doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love when we chant to the guru in our meditation, my meditation training in the yoga studio you and I go to. You know, and when we chant to the guru, it's like the guru is in all things. The guru is the light and the dark. So we chant, we call in the dark, because when we call in the dark, we also call in the lightest of light.
Yeah, and how we know ourselves is through our shadow.
Mm, yeah.
How we understand and evolve is through the stuff that comes up in our, like the content of our life. The contraction is literally how we get to the expansion. So if something's triggering you, for a really easy way to say it, beautiful. That is the thing that's going to allow you to transmute, because someone pisses you off, right? There's a contraction. Maybe it causes you discomfort in your body. Well, you have to meet that. And in the meeting of that, it means that it's still living inside your system. And so to release it, we have to see it, feel it, notice it, let it move. How does energy move? Breath, sound, movement. Right? Why, if you look at my Instagram, am I like, right?
Yeah.
Why are the things that you do like so much somatics?
Yeah.
It's because it's
shaking,
how we move
moaning.
Energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's how we get to liberation.
Yeah.
So if you're hella triggered in your life, awesome. Right?
Yeah.
You've probably declared, I want more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You probably declared a manifestation. Maybe you cast a vision this new year, whatever it is. Well, if you set that intention, you best believe universe, God, source, spirit, whatever the term is for you that feels most resonant, is going to give you all the things in between that you have to clear to be able to become the woman, the man, the person that is embodying that manifestation that you want.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Hats off.
You said it really well.
I bow to you,
sister.
This is coming from a gal that literally has to sit on her little meditation pillow every morning.
I hope everyone listening knows that this is what Tori and I do when we hang out.
Literally.
No, we literally.
We're like, do you want to have nighttime tea? And we sit here and we have these kind of conversations.
We do. It's so funny. I think for 2 weeks, we never saw each other in the light of day. It was literally
tea
in conversation.
Yeah, like this.
Which is so stunning. Like, I just smile ear to ear because anyone who's, like, listening is, if you know me, if you're a friend of mine, family member, you know deep conversation and tea.
Me too. I was like, you can find your shoes at the door if you can't go deep. People would always ask me even about dating. I'm like, it's surface level. I can't do it. I need to be able to drop in and talk about the complexities of life. I need to be able to talk about what is stirring inside of me. Mm-hmm. My whole life, I felt that way. I mean, I went to every homeschool, public school, private school, online school, upper grade, down a grade, because I was just like, why can no one tell me? Why can't we talk about this? Mm-hmm. Why cannot we not talk about this?
And then look at how sick our society is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I fully feel you. I want to know the depths of your soul.
Like, if you want to get coffee with me, like, you best believe I need to know what's happening down there, in there, all over you, you know? And I'll probably be tracking it anyway energetically.
But it's true. Like, we do ourselves a disservice. We do people a disservice by not leading with vulnerability and truth. Mm. Because, I mean, I would believe, let me just guess, that someone listening to this podcast probably resonates with it not being all sunshine and rainbows every single day. Yeah. And so what would it look like if we talked about it?
Yeah.
What would it look like if we weren't just like, hey, how are you? Great. How are you? Like, worst conversation I've ever had.
Yeah, I've always thought bullshit.
Yeah.
Literally, even in my family.
Yeah.
You know, hearing the forks on the dinner hitting, clanking the plates, I was just thinking, bullshit. Someone say it.
Yeah.
How was your motherfucking day?
Mm-hmm. And how was it really?
Yeah, and how was it really?
Because mine sucks, you know? You know, and that's not always the answer, but yeah. Like, we get to laugh. And the beauty is, too, like, there's it's so much the therapy more, and humor.
Yeah, the more you actually, and for anyone listening, it's like the more you actually start talking about your feelings or the shitty deck of cards you've experienced or whatever, the more you can laugh it off. The more it's actually kind of fucking funny because it's all just a cosmic joke.
And the more you can relate to people.
And the more you can relate to people. Yeah. Like, I love you and I, how we'll just be talking about the shittiest of shit and laughing mm-hmm. the whole time. Mm-hmm. And that is alchemy. That is true alchemy. And then also honoring your feelings, you know, being in the tears, being in the depths, being in the dark. And then also having these massive moments of light and seeing where our life gets to take us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? It's so interesting with the dark and the pain. I noticed for myself so much, or I've noticed in years past, I've done a lot of work on this, how much I want to buffer against feeling pain, mm-hmm. how much I want to buffer against actually being with and staying with something that feels uncomfortable. And what am I reaching for? What am I trying to get to band-aid it? Like, how am I buffering so the blow isn't super hard on me? And what I've learned is that the more ability, the more capacity, right? That word is so powerful.
It's my favorite word.
Yeah. And I know it so deeply has been such a thing for you too in your work. It's the more capacity I have to be with whatever the feeling is, then the more full I will actually move it through. Mm-hmm. And the way in which, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I'll only speak for myself. I build capacity is through the practices, right? Like you said it a little while ago, you know, we have to do our practices or else, you know, we can't function in the world. And it's true. My family friends will like laugh. Like they know, you know, I'll go to a friend's apartment in New York and I'm getting up and I'm sitting there and I'm like, right, like I'm doing the things because it builds my capacity to hold my human experience, which for me in my deck is flavorful and moody and complex. And so when I can hold it and be with it, then I can move it through and then I can actually function and be kind to humans on earth.
Well, you know, I think also that just goes to being wise. Like so much of my experience was searching for the answer. How can this be easier? How can I have relief? How can I have a different experience? And though, yes, we can create all of those things, what I really learned is we have to be able to build our capacity to be with life. Heartbreak is going to happen. Family matters is going to happen. Things that are really hard are going to happen. And the more you strengthen your capacity, the more you'll be able to hold and be with all that is happening. And so in my search of, like, you know, the pattern of upgrade, downgrade, this house, this friend, this place, this car, this, it's like that was just a person searching for safety. That was a person searching for something to make this life experience feel easier for me. And it wasn't in any of those things. And it's still not. Mm-hmm. And I still have to train myself that, hey, it's not there. Come back to your body. Come back to your breath. And building this strength and resilience and building the capacity, it's like, yeah, life can live. And I can bounce back really fast. And I can also be with life as it's lifing and not escape it, not numb, not run, not hide, but be with it and actually be turned on by it. The more I'm opening this, the more I'm able to be in my tears, be able to show my emotion in front of people, to be in my anger and my rage and just to show up as how I am. And when I'm in one of my moments, which is just full rage, full tears, full sobbing, I'm actually like, this is so hot and I have so much inspiration right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, because we can create through that energy.
Yeah. It's because we're opening. It's like, talk about contracting and expanding. When we build our capacity and we're able to be with our emotions and we're able to release them, we're open. And then like more ideas can come in. More, you know, you're having a shitty life experience. It's like when you're open, you're able to see, oh, maybe it's this relationship that's not aligned. That's, you can follow that path versus just being shit on and then holding that shit and holding the person shits next to you. Mm-hmm. And then you're just living this life of holding without the capacity to actually hold it.
Mm-hmm. A short intermission to just share with you from my heart. The beautiful guest that we have on today, Tori, is a near and dear friend of mine, and I watch her and the work she does in this world with young women particularly. And I know my community, you as a listener, would benefit so greatly from her work. She is a coach, a mentor, she's what I would have wanted and needed when I was in my younger 20s and searching. She is a mentor to young women who know that there's more out there, who have tried therapy, but they're stuck in their head, they can't get into their heart, and they want to learn the tools and have the support from another woman who understands what it actually is that we're all looking for. So she is a mentor and a coach to women who want a coach that's not going to just sit and chat with them about, you know, what's going on in their life, but actually show them a way into their bodies to find their own freedom and then hold your hand along the way to do that. She gives you text support. You basically have a beautiful human and mentor in your field to help you grow, expand, transform, heal, all of the things. And she uses different modalities like breathwork, giving you different practices, getting you in your body. She's a certified yoga teacher, movement, feeling your feelings, somatics, all these things. And she's my friend. And so I just see what she does with her clients. And I feel so passionate about sharing that with you because, you know, all these different modalities that I've cultivated that have been a part of my healing journey, like the breath work, like the somatic healing, like all the different, you know, one-off mentors and sessions and things that I've paid for to have, I just know that if I was 23 and I would have found someone like Tori who would have helped me get right into my body versus me spending all these years, you know, I'm so grateful that I spent all these years gathering all these tools, right? Because now I get to share this in my Body Forward membership with you and in my work in the world, my different offerings. So I'm grateful for my path, but I also know that there is someone like yourself who's like, therapy's not working. I need a coach. I need a mentor. And I don't want to waste money on being in my head and intellectualizing all this shit. I want to actually heal. And Tori is the kind of coach that and mentor that
can get you in your body because she has the practices, she has the certification, she has the knowledge to get you into your body and out of your head and help you actually heal. So if you're looking for a one-on-one coach, a one-on-one mentor, and you are a woman and you are going through your 20s and you are just like, I want to heal, I want more, I want support, I want expansion, I want to be in my body, Tori is your woman. And if you are interested in working with her, her link to book a free 10-minute call is in the show notes. And you can mention that you found her through Kenzie Burke's podcast, and she will give you a special based on whatever kind of package or container you guys decide on for working together. So I just wanted to share that from the bottom of my heart because she is a phenomenal coach and mentor. And I think that you would benefit so greatly from her work. So just know that if you reach out to her, please mention that you came from Kenzie Burke's podcast and she will hook you up. Okay, jump right back into the episode.
Yeah, it's so interesting that this is coming through as you're speaking about this. The best tangible example is sex.
Mm.
Like in the tantric body of work too. And I'm not super studied in that, so I'm not going to speak to it in depth. But if you think about pain, think about sex, it's pain, 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 pain until pleasure.
Mm, yeah.
And so, yeah, there's turn on inside of the pain. It's contract, 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 contract until release, right? And that energy, that same energy creates births.
Yeah.
Right? So there's so much.
And even truth. Being with the pleasure, right? Like you have to also have the capacity to be able to be with the pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pleasure is a huge sensation as well.
Yeah.
That a lot of us, if you don't have the capacity, you shut down, you contract, you can't hold it. So it's almost like if you can build your capacity with the pain, like we talked about, you can build your capacity with the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes strength to also have pleasure.
It totally does. And that's exactly what just came through too is in the day-to-day, like even just feeling pleasure, feeling joy. Yeah. That is actually uncomfortable for some people, myself included.
Me too.
Like it's been really, my sister and I talked about this. It is, my default is to find struggle. Like how many challenges can I create to hurdle over to accomplish something to then get some joy?
Yeah, what do you think? Because when I wake up, I'm just curious if you share this. When I wake up, the first thing I think is, what is it? What's wrong? Like I like go to scan for the thing I was holding on to that's not good or that's bad or that I should be stressed about or worried about.
Yeah.
And then I have to literally go sit down on the cushion to be like, no,
the cushion,
the floor, the cushion, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different thing every single day, but often I wake up with just stuff. It's staticky. It's talky. I do not wake up in, woohoo, another day. Like that has never been my experience. I can't interact with anyone. Yeah. It's often anxiety, scanning, thoughts, questions, what I forget, what's happening. Or sometimes, like the other day, it was just a felt experience of like density on my chest. You know, if you've experienced mm-hmm. anxiety before, you might be familiar with that. Of just like, oh, like it's a heaviness. And there's just this fear energy underneath it. Sometimes it's just sensational. And in previous years of my life, I would fall into it. Go inside of the part, the sensation, and then dictate my day from there. Freak out, spiral off on anything that crossed my path. And now after 5-6 years of daily practice, I know myself and I know that I have to come back to truth, to presence, to stillness.
What is your, for anyone listening, practice? Because obviously now anyone listening to this podcast knows I'm like, the practice, the practice, the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And what's also been really cool about meeting you is we have the same practice and I've never met someone else who has the same practice. Like there's just different things I've had to do in for my practice that really just is what gives me what we're speaking of. And I've never met someone else who has the same practice.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's what I DM'd you. When I DM'd you, I saw you doing some Kundalini Kriya. And I'm like, that's it.
Hands are flailing. Yeah. Breath is going.
Like her body shaking.
Yes.
Stomach is pumping.
Right.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. It's evolved over time. Going back, I would say it started with Wim Hof. So if you're familiar with breath work, you probably heard of Wim Hof. And it started with just, I think I saw him maybe on the Goop. There was like a Goop thing on Netflix, I think.
I know exactly what one it was.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I need that. Of course, you know, something so extreme in life. And so I literally started every single day going and playing this 10-minute track on YouTube and doing the breath practice.
I did that one too for a long time.
Yeah, and doing a cold shower 2 minutes afterwards.
Me too.
Yeah. Wow. We never talked about this either. Yeah. So that's where it started for me. And I did it every single day for 2 years straight. And it profoundly changed how I felt. And simultaneously, I was working with a coach who I still work with today. She is my spiritual mother. I love her deeply. Her name is Tammy. And she also gave me some tools to start kind of meditating and being with myself. So it started kind of like this hodgepodge. And then I went to teacher training, my yoga teacher training, and it was incredible. If anyone here listening is interested in doing a teacher training, I highly recommend The Sacred Fig, run by Anton Brandt, and his partner, Tony Lupinacci, is my meditation teacher. And I met him on the training, and I, every single morning on training, you do a 40-minute sadhana practice, which is a meditation practice, but it has a mix of kriya, mantra, breathwork. Pranayama is another word for breathwork, and then sitting in silence, which is the meditative.
Let's break down what kriya is. I've actually never done it, and I teach it.
Yeah. And I also, too, just disclaimer, like, I may butcher the, you know, roots of this because I know and I want to pay homage to where it comes from, which is India, and it's a very sacred practice. But in my understanding, kriya is just mixing a breath with a movement.
Yep.
So
a lot of the, you know, moving your fingers, doing different.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think my people know, but just to really break it down.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Cause I'm like kriya. Woo.
Yeah. Me and too. I realized I've been speaking a lot like that. And I don't know if I've ever specifically said what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's breath and movement together, which creates.
And sound.
Thank you. Yeah.
So mantras, using your voice.
Exactly.
Singing. Yep.
Yeah. And so, the sadhana practice I learned on teacher training, or it changed my life. And so I started working with Tony, and I sit with him every 40 days. I've been doing it for 3 years now, I think, or 2.5. And every 40 days, I tell him about what's happening in my life. And every 40 days, he gives me a new practice. And like, just list it out. It's a mix of kriya, which is the sound movement breath combo, a pranayama, which is just the breath, and a mantra, which I use a mala, which is like this beaded, pretty, essentially like looks like a necklace, but it's 108 beads. And I chant a mantra. And then I sit in meditation for usually 20 minutes. And that is TM, which is kind of the contemporary name for Vedic meditation. So it's sitting in silence and repeating a word in your head over and over. And it'll float away and it'll come back. But the point is to just practice coming back, coming back, coming back. So it sounds like a lot, but I view it as that 40 minutes or an hour, or, you know, I'm pretty generous. Sometimes I don't get the full hour, 40 minutes. That buys me hours in my day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
No, I know. And it's been just so cool to know you, especially at this time in my life where I really have been diving deep into this body of work as well that just speaks to my soul. And so it's just been fun to be able to share the practices and share the music and just talk about them. And just in reflection, just meeting someone else who has been so in their head and finding this great joy in being able to talk about these things and being able to share them. And I know you do that too. I mean, that's your work in the world too, which has been just phenomenal to see.
Thank you for that. And I feel so similarly. You know, a lot of what I do day to day, the nuances of how I live my life, which is a lot of getting from my head back to my body, going from my head back to my body. And I mean like moment by moment, you know, through the workday, through my life experience. I don't share that. You know, I haven't shared that. I share bits and pieces through my body of work and what I do coaching wise and teaching wise. But to be able to just be in connection and conversation so frequently with someone like yourself and talking about my practices and sharing them and resonating with each other about them, it's felt so intimate and so important. And it's helped my embodiment.
Yeah.
In it too.
And you know, I do just want to say, because I think for a long time, I myself didn't want to fully open up about my life experience. Like, oh, if I'm teaching these kriyas and if I'm teaching these breaths, then I need to not share that I am working all day to get back to that. Right. But the people I like to consume, the people I trust, if I'm going to do a practice with someone, I trust the person that's like, I'm walking through this fire too. And this is what I'm doing right now, because you're embodying that work. And it's like so much of what we spoke about just the honest truth about what this experience on life is and why can't we just talk about what's really going on. And I'm in this meditation training, which you know, and what I love the most about it is both teachers every single day of this training, we're not better than you. We're going through life. Mm. Our kids are going through this. We're going through this. This is my practice right now. You know, and these are very wise, embodied teachers. And I have so much safety around them because they're so real about their life experience and they're embodying their work as well. Mm-hmm. And so just calling that out, because I feel for even me sharing all of this and this conversation is really just allowing ourselves to be as we also hold the space in the world.
Oh yeah. I love that you said that, because that is the point of being a space holder. A space holder is not meant to be on a pedestal above someone else. An amazing leader and space holder is side by side with their people and is simply just holding the vision, holding a mirror.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. That is literally what you do with your work. That's what I do with my work. That's what anyone in a position of leadership or teaching or publicity does if they're in integrity, which is never, ever, ever putting a power over a dynamic or a power under a dynamic. It's just true power is two people, equal playing field, doing the dance together, sharing their experience. And my teacher, Anton, says, and I believe this came from Brené Brown, you know, vulnerability builds bridges. And he would always teach us as teachers, you absolutely have to be the most vulnerable person in the room. Mm. You have to. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. You know, thinking about, you know, those two leaders you were just mentioning in your training, thinking about what you do. Like, you have to stand up and shake and yell and stick your tongue out and be so vulnerable. These practices that we both teach, that we both do, are really exposing.
Very exposing.
And it's scary to make sounds. Like, even I can remember my first yoga class, like I heard like a and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, me too. Like,
I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, I don't want to skip over that, because there's so much vulnerability in these practices. And so as teachers, as facilitators, as leaders, as mentors, as space holders, as whatever it is, as humans, it's our duty to be in the work and to be in the vulnerability of it. And then that's where the true mastery happens, because you're the people that you connect with can feel safe in your presence.
Yeah, because they're honest about
Yeah.
And honesty is safety for me. Mm.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that. Yeah. Truth is so huge for you.
Truth is everything for me. If there is not truth, I am the first to be gone. Blocked, deleted. Like,
yeah.
And yes, I can work on that reaction.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. The first is admitting I have it. But it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I resonate. You know, I can sniff it out so quick.
Yeah, me too.
And it's the beauty and there's always the polarity, the duality, which we've talked about, which is the blessing and the curse of feeling your feels and getting real with yourself, getting raw with yourself, is that you start to see, right? We have eyes.
Yeah.
And there's one thing about, you can look, but you can see.
Yeah.
And when you see, you can't unsee.
Yeah.
When we start looking through a different lens and seeing through a different lens, your life changes. And what you start to see is, oh, truth that you didn't see before. And then that's pretty confronting.
Yeah. And you have to hold that with a lot of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been through that recently in the past year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, shit, I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then with full compassion, because I didn't see it because I was numb to a degree in that at that time. And the beauty in going through a massive dark night of the soul, which everyone listening knows I went through again this deep past year, is this deep call to feel, to know, to, you know, if you feel like your life is constantly throwing you, you are constantly in the shitter. There is a call to go just so much deeper and to lean so far into what that is.
And look at what you're the actual perfect example of the pain to pleasure, the darkness to the light,
yeah.
Because you literally took the darkest moments and then look at what's been created through it.
Yeah, because I had no other choice but to go into my body, into my breath, to make noise, to make sound, to start looking and feeling it. I had no choice. I fully believe I would not have been able to make it through. Like I was having morbid thoughts. Very morbid thoughts. Very scary. Like going to bed and just being like, what would happen if I didn't wake up, you know? And yeah, I had to. And then it's like just as someone who has looked everywhere for the answer, and I've done everything. Kind of mentor, seen him. Therapist, seen him. Psychic, seen him. Every meditation modality, done. Every movement class, done. I've tried everything. You got to feel it. You got to feel it and you got to be with it. And you have to have a willingness every single day to be like, I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it into alchemy. Use the breath and use the body.
Mm. Yeah.
You can enter psychedelic, outer worldly spaces from that.
Yeah, and we want to find a complicated answer. And it's actually so simple. And that's been a beautiful theme recently, I think, as a collective. I'm noticing so many people right now are coming to the point where they can no longer go on as they are. My favorite thing to say recently is people are emotionally constipated.
Yeah.
And one of my clients said to me, you know, these sessions are like spiritual laxatives. And I was like, that is it.
Yes,
that's it. And it's true. It's, we can't go on anymore holding all the stuff that we hold. And
no,
it doesn't work. And to your point of like, you got to a place where you like literally could have no other choice but to express. And that's what's happening.
I had to literally roar.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Tits out, French braids in, and just have a full
come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. And that's where we came from.
Yeah.
We're animals.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's there's so much passion in both of us get like, oh, lit up because, because that is what we're meant to do.
Yeah.
And we walk around like this.
We are animals.
We are. And we walk around like this.
Yeah.
You look around, people are like this. How small can I get?
Yeah.
And that's why they can't breathe?
Yeah.
Can you take a breath like this?
Yeah.
I can't. Draw your shoulders down your back. Open your chest. Get buoyant. Take an inhale. You can feel it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also to what you said about how it's just, we make it so complicated. It's not. You know, I did a live class today. And right before, I just had this ping to not make it complicated. Remember I was going to do that like 8-minute song, we were going to shake and move. And I was just like, right before, I was like, no. There's this song called In Dreams, 7 minutes long. And I was like, no, we're just going to listen to this song. So I had us all lay down and listen to this song and take a few breaths and feel our heartbeat. And I could feel myself and everyone on that live lightening up. And I got messages and they're like, I think I just lost 5 pounds of energetic weight. And it's, again, to your point, it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we sit for 7 minutes and allow ourselves to feel our heartbeat? We don't. Not now. Not in this society. Because so much, we're always scared of what we're going to feel if we actually sit and feel ourselves. That's why we scroll, we eat, We stay busy. We go do something. We talk about how hard it is. We don't actually sit and give ourselves the space to feel. My favorite quote, nothing survives in the light of observation.
Mm.
That's my favorite line. I heard it 5 years ago, 2019, when I started to spiritually awaken. And I remember, I was like, huh. And as each year goes by, I really hear that quote different. It just, the meaning of it strengthens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nothing survives in light of observation. It's so true.
It's so true. The more that we stand on the sidelines and judge and observe and add drama and add narration, the farther away we are from actually moving through the thing we want to move through. It's just that it's so simple. And it's so complicated. And the reason is because we got a lot of thoughts up here.
Yeah.
Right? Habituations, conditioning, stories, narrations. Like, I'm not trivializing those pieces. Those are real. It comes from lineages. It comes from our childhood. It comes from past lives. You know, it comes from what we consume in the media, how we live. And that gets inundated in our system, especially if you're empathic and you're a porous being and you take things in. Well, it gets bogged down, right? Just like when you eat too much, you feel full. If you take too much in that isn't yours, it gets stuck in your body. And then, yeah, you can't see clearly. Yeah, you can't feel your feels because you actually can't, you don't have access to it because you're not a clear channel. And so much of, you know, a lot, think about your body of work too over the years. It's been clearing the vessel,
clearing the body, my work,
out of my head, into my body. How can I get more clear?
Yeah.
You know?
Would you talk about your work a little bit for anyone listening?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you have medicine for people who are listening.
Yeah, thank you. It's evolved over time, which has been so much fun. For me, you know, my path has been so clearly led by getting out of my head and into my heart, right? Getting out of my mind and into my body. And the path there has been movement, breath work, and somatic healing. So that word somatic has been very hot recently. I just want to break it down. It literally just means body. Ta-da! Soma means body. So it just means that we're going through the lens of the body first. You know, it's so silly.
No, we just talk about this so much because it's like starting to trend and we're both like, we've been doing this for years.
I know.
Now it's trendy.
It's so funny.
I refuse to call my work somatics because I'm like, no.
Yeah.
The resistant one.
Not following the trend.
Yeah.
Anti-trend always. But it just means leading with the body first versus going all mind. So if you've had therapy and it's a wonderful tool and I still have a therapist and I love it, it's a lot of speaking, right? We're sitting here talking through what is going on. It's thought-based versus body-based, which means often it's closing the eyes and feeling into, okay, if I just had a bad day at work, what does that actually feel like in my body? Checking in. And so that's really one of the tools I use. So I work with a lot of young women,
mm-hmm.
you know, women in their 20s is really the group that I work with. And it's really at the baseline, moving from head to heart and going from being overthinking, analyzing, comparison, wondering, questioning, not knowing, seeking, workouts, green juices, like what are all the things I can do? And helping those young women just literally reclaim their truth, their power, their presence, their knowing, their confidence that lives within them, and becoming embodied. And essentially embodiment is just going mind to body, creating a state of being. And so I do that in deep, long coaching containers, private work, one-on-one with me. And it's custom and curated.
Yeah, and what I love about your coaching and your work, and I just wish, I am so happy we can share this, because if I was 22 and someone gave me a you, oh my God. Because with your work, it's like there's so much of, yeah, I've sought help or whatever, someone to guide me with so many people who kept me in my head. Let's talk about it. What I love when I watch you work is like, you're like, how does that feel? Okay, now we're going to do this breath work. Now let's get down on our mat. And it's like, that's to just complete, bring this, you know, podcast full circle. It's like, that's how you actually alchemize your life and your situation is by feeling it.
Yeah.
Like, so beautiful to have someone to mirror, and talking is a part of it all. It's also why I love our friendship, because I'm able to talk and you're such a powerful mirror for me. You really see. And you've shown me through my own reflection through you just how powerful I am. It's been such a pleasure to witness. And then to watch you be able to be like, okay, and close your eyes. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I fully receive that. Thank you. And it's true, you know? And that's why, you know, this work, I haven't walked this path, this last 5-6 year path, just figuring this out by myself. Mirrors. So many people in my life to mirror, investing in people to help me. And not investing them in them to help me go somewhere else outside myself, but helping me see myself. And that's the gift that I've received and that I can offer to the world, which feels so humbling to do. And I mean, in my work, as you know, as we know, like I can't have a plan. So I have to know the person, the system, the body. And then from there, we integrate breath, we integrate movement, we integrate all the things. So it's been so, so sacred to me to have someone see me in friendship and connection and work so purely. Like it's been an incredible gift. So right back at you, my sister. Thank you.
It's a testament to the practice.
To the practice. Sit on your cushion if you get anything out of this.
This is all from the practice, folks. No, but really, it's been an honor.
Likewise. Thank you.
I think we have to do more episodes.
I think we have to do more. 2.0.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you want to connect with Tori, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Book a 10-minute call.
Yeah, so easiest way for me is book a 10-minute call. It's free. It's a way for us to vibe energetically. That's always the most important part at the start. And then from there, just chat a little bit about, you know, where you're at, what can support you, create something that feels really supportive for you going forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be in the show notes. You can expect more from us.
Oh, yeah.
In some shape or form.
Just stay tuned.
We'll see you maybe on the platform for a practice.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. To stay connected with me, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenzie Burke for all things body forward, my food methods, my movement methods, my meditation methods, my daily practice, the things that I do each and every day to stay connected to my body, to my truth. You can go to bodyforward.com. That is the home to all of my methods. I have a membership that has everything you could need to live the Kenzie Burke lifestyle, to stay devoted to yourself, to stay devoted to transformation. I am so grateful you are here each and every day. I am just in so much gratitude that I get to share this journey with you. So again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day.